It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of John, John chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 25 to the end of the chapter, verse 42. So if you'd please open your Bibles and follow along with me, you'll enjoy reading the Word with me. As you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us today to study the Word. Now let's immediately get to it so that we can enjoy it all the more as we love studying the Word of God. John chapter 10, beginning to read with verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" And the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? And if ye call them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified, and said unto the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan unto the place where John was at first baptized, and there he abode. Many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. The joy of the Word of God. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come and enjoy this time together. Help us to grow close to you, Lord, to walk with you, to fellowship with you. Guide and lead us as we study your Word through the Holy Spirit today. I ask that those that have never confessed their sin before you and trusted in you as their Savior, that they would come today and not miss that opportunity. Not put it off one more day and begin this wonderful walk. And as we look today through these scripture verses concerning the saving power that you have given us, the keeping as you keep us, as you've shown us through your word that yes, you are God, and then that you make intercession for us. We will be looking, Father, at all those verses of scripture today. So guide and lead us now as we spend this time together. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin, we have studied down through verse 33. We're going to just take a few minutes because this is so much an important area of Scripture. As we look, we need to see that that as we look to the Word of God, enjoy the Word of God, that we are told by the Word of God, and that's the only power and authority that we have. It begins with the 25th verse. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Okay, all the beautiful miracles that the Lord Jesus is performing. He raises the dead. He heals the blind, the lame. All miracles that no man can ever perform, Jesus is doing to show that, yes, he is God. I come with the power of God, with God's power, because I am God. But ye believe not, verse 26 says, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I want to just take a few minutes again with this verse of Scripture and verse 26 as well as we look at those two, because we see a couple of things here that I want you to notice. First of all, they did not believe. They had never come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You know, today we are taught that if, again, you attend church or you're a good person, then you must be a Christian. Yes, you've got to be a believer in Jesus Christ if you act like it, so you must be. No, it is an act. It's something you do, not an act that you put on, but it's an action. And that action is that you turn when Jesus calls. Now, Jesus is calling you today. Will you turn to him and come by faith and trust in him? And so these folks had not. And so when Jesus spoke, they questioned that he was God, because they said, no. And you can say to me, Larry, I believe that he's God. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to ask you a question again, and that is, do you know Jesus as your Savior, as your personal Savior? Do you know that you're a sinner and you're lost and Jesus died for you? And by his grace and by his drawing you is the only way that you can be saved, and that is through by the cross of Calvary, where Jesus died, took all your sins away, shed his precious blood there for you. Please, that you understand that. And we're going to look not only at the death, burial, and also the resurrection today as we've come together. Ye are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. That's how we know. Because you see, if you're a true believer, and I hate to divide that, because, I mean, you're either a believer or not. And so why am I saying if you're a true believer? Well, so many folks today say they believe, but their life does not show. There is no example that they have been blood-bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his power and his grace, and they're walking after the Lord Jesus, desiring to walk after the Lord Jesus. It seems as though that they can play church for an hour or so on Sunday morning, and then they can just live like the devil all week long, come back on Sunday morning once again. They have no desire to study the Word of God, to know more about Jesus. Those people do not hear the voice of God. The reason they don't is because they do not know him, nor does he know them, because they have neglected such a wonderful gift of salvation coming to the Lord Jesus. This gift, this eternal life that's spoken of in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Once you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you will never be separated. And what takes place in your life is that Jesus grows you to be more like him. You are predestined to be as Jesus. What a goal to move us from down here in the pits, in the dungeon, up to the palace, up to his presence. And that's what he does with our lives on a daily basis, as we walk with the Lord Jesus. And yes, we hear his voice. That doesn't mean we don't do wrong things, but we hear his voice. And the desire of our heart is that we turn and serve him, walk after him, be faithful to him, and we will hear his voice. He knows us, we know him. That's the difference. Today, if you deny the Word of God, if you deny the blood of the Lord Jesus, if you deny that you're a sinner and you must confess your sin before the Holy God, before the Lord Jesus, and come to him, and again through and by the means of the cross of Calvary, if you deny that, question that, refuse that, add something to it, baptism, whatever you might add to that, works that you, yes, I believe in Jesus, but yes, I believe I have to work every day. to keep my salvation. All those things are contrary to the Word of God. I want you to know Jesus Christ, and I want you to know that you are secure in Him. Now, we're going to look at some verses of Scripture very quickly here as we have looked through this, because these statements that Jesus is making, and He closes it right there in verse 30, I and my Father are one. We're in John chapter 10, verse 30. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. We're going to go back to some verses of Scripture, and I want you to go with me, if you would please, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, to see the means, the salvation that Jesus has offered us, please that you look back, because in order to see that He keeps us and see that He makes intercession for us and to know that He is God, first of all, we must come to know the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we look to this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture here. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He gave His life for you. That's how salvation can come into your life. That's how you can be saved. You know, you're in the prison. The door is locked. You are condemned to die and to spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's your life without Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard that before? That you are condemned already? That's exactly where you find yourself if you deny Jesus Christ and will not come to Him. The desire of God's heart is all will be saved. But we have to choose Him. We have to come to Him. And please that we do that we come unto the knowledge of the truth. And once you recognize that Jesus Christ as your Savior, once that comes to pass, and that will come when that Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart's door, and you open that door for Him to come in, then for the first time, you wonder why that you say, oh, I believe part of the Word of God and part of it I don't. You're not a believer. You say, yes, I am. I believe in Jesus Christ. You do not know Him as your Savior. You have to be introduced to Jesus, and I'm doing that today. I'm asking you to come. I'm introducing you to Jesus Christ. Will you come to Him today and be saved? Because the desire of God's heart is not only that you're saved, but then you come unto the knowledge of the truth, and that's what will happen. No longer will you deny the Word of God. No longer will you say that it's just inspired in sections and spots. No longer will you deny the blood. If you deny the power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you are not a believer, because the Holy Spirit will not teach you such a lie as that. He will teach you the truth, that Jesus died on the cross, that He saved you, that His Word is holy, that His Word is precious, that there is not one part of it that is not inspired by Jesus Christ, spoken by Him. Please, that you listen carefully to the Word of God and follow. Let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. 1 Timothy, you'll find Hebrews shortly after that. Hebrews chapter 9, as we look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. And we're going to read many verses of Scripture here. I want you to follow, please, because we're looking at the salvation that's offered here. And this salvation is a free gift. eternal life. We have to settle the question of salvation before we can go on to what that salvation and what that eternal life means to you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." That's how he bought it. That's how he paid for it. If you've never studied the Old Testament, you have no understanding of the days that Moses brought the plans of the tabernacle down. This doesn't mean much to you. We spend much time studying the Word of God, and we spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, because the more you know of the Old Testament, the better you can understand the New, and you'll realize how that it so beautifully comes together. And there's not a part of it that's against another part. Well, you would understand that if you've studied the Old Testament, if you'd studied Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. If you'd studied those books of Scripture, you would understand what Exodus means, what the Passover meant to them, what the feast meant, what the offerings in the tabernacle, what the high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, you would understand those things. It takes a long period of time to understand the Word of God. It's easy. It's simple, because we have the teacher, the Holy Spirit, once you're become a child of God. We've been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This is a tabernacle that's in heaven. It's not one that made by man or man's hands, but it's one that God has constructed, and it is in heaven, and Jesus Christ's precious blood is placed upon the mercy seat in heaven, and he presented that to his Father. Just as the high priest, which Jesus Christ has become our high priest, as the high priest of the days of the tabernacle, he would come in on the Day of Atonement. He would pay the price, and on that day he would stand and go through the veil into the Holy of Holies. But not, the Scripture tells us very clear, never, never was he able to go in without the blood. You know what would have happened if he'd have went in without the blood? He would have died instantly. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus presented that blood before the Father, and it's present right there today, his precious blood. Eternal redemption for us. And again, I'm going to read verse 12, Hebrews 9:12. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkled the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God?" You see what happens the day that you trust in Jesus Christ? Jesus did this all on the cross of Calvary for you. But until you come before him, turn to him, confess your sin, repent, turn unto Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's calling you. You come and accept him. Say, "We don't believe we have to do that." Well, then you believe wrong, because you must. You must confess your sin and come to Jesus Christ today. Ask him to come into your heart to save you, and then you can become a part of this. And you purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, they which were called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Jesus had to finish a work that bulls and goats couldn't do. They had to continue to do that, and that was only a picture of what was to come to the cross of Calvary. And that's the reason that you should have recognized when Jesus came and he was hung on that tree to die for you and for me. His blood was shed. We should have known how that was going to be done, because, my friend, we have the Word of God, and we have such a beautiful picture through the Old Testament. And we have in verse 16, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, "For where a testament is, there must also be the necessity, of necessity, be the death of the testator." He has to die. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So as long as the person's alive, Jesus had to die to pay the price. He had to die to pay the price. And once he died, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. It had to be through the shedding of blood, the presence of the blood, because it has to be by the blood. Now follow this. For when Moses had spoken every precept of all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Look at that. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. We're going to get to that in a little bit. He appeared in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus Christ took your place. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? We're going to go very quickly to Romans. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verses 8 through 13, this very familiar verses of Scripture, to help you see the need to come to the Lord Jesus, see the example given in the Old Testament, then what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must call upon him. You must believe in your heart. Every verse of Scripture we must look at. So please listen carefully that you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. We know that we are kept because it tells us here in verse 28 and verse 29, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm back in John chapter 10, verse 28. Now John chapter 10, verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see what happens the day you come to Jesus Christ? You are kept by him. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5. We read this last time. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. James. 1 Peter. There we come. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We are kept by him. It is wonderful. We shall not perish. We shall never perish, the scripture tells us in verse 28. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, the scripture says. All this we have looked at in the past. I needed to go through again the salvation, the need to come, the bought and paid for by his blood upon the cross of Calvary. And now that we are kept by him, it is wonderful to look unto the Lord Jesus. And I want to go to one more place, and that is that he not only has saved us, we are kept, but he is also at the right hand. And if you'll look to Acts chapter 2, let's see where Jesus is right now. Because if he bought and paid for us on the cross of Calvary, yes, we have the death, burial, and resurrection. And then we have the ascension 40 days later. Let's see where we'll find Jesus today. Because the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 20. Acts chapter 2, verse 20. As we look at the wonderful scripture verses, 25. Acts chapter 2, verse 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Beautiful what the scripture tells us. Verse 32 and 34, 32 through 34. This Jesus, Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Oh, it is wonderful to see the Word of God and to know that the Lord Jesus is on the right hand of God the Father right now. He is on the right hand of God the Father. We're going to look to Ephesians, Romans, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. As we come through, you'll find the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Ephesians 1, 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, a name above every name, and that name is the Lord Jesus. He's the right hand of the Father. Now, we're going to find that he is making intercession. My whole point of going through all this is getting to this place, and we're just about out of time. As we look to Roma, to Hebrews, very quickly, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, Hebrews 7, 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him through Jesus Christ. You need to understand that, not church membership, through Jesus. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is making intercession for you and for me. Let's look to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and then we're going to talk about this intercession. What is he doing? Why is he interceding for you and for me? Romans chapter 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is ever at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see, the Lord Jesus not only saves us, the Lord Jesus keeps us. And yes, as we live in this life, we still have the old flesh. But Jesus is in the right hand of the Father. And every time that old devil will point something up that says, Larry, look at what Larry's done. You know what Jesus says? I see nothing but the blood. My blood, because I have bought and paid for Larry. And I have paid for him with my life. Here's my blood to show it. He has come by faith to me. So you see, I see no sin. Constantly, as the devil goes before the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, is there interceding for me, going on my behalf, saying, devil, you've got nothing on him or on her because they've come to me by faith. You see, all of our sins are taken away. There's nothing can be seen because it's all taken by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that hides it all. What a joy it is to be a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm sorry I took so long to get to that point. We'll begin with the point of intercession next time we come together. I want to spend just a little bit more time, and then we'll move on. I want you to see how to be saved, that you're kept, and that, my friend, He is interceding for you. You see the whole beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?